What is it about being cut off in traffic or some other driving faux pas that people get so angry they would murder someone? All indications are we nearly saw that happen on the QEW in Mississauga today. The drivers of two vehicles, sure enough, they get into some sort of argument out there on the highway. They pull over at the Cawthra Road off-ramp, and one of them stabs the other. Police say the victim nearly died.
That victim has been since transported to trauma center in initial life-threatening condition, but I'm happy to say now has been upgraded to non-life-threatening condition. We do have several investigators on this incident. We are appealing for anyone that was traveling not only on the QW, but as well on Cawthra Road here. If anyone has dash cam, we are encouraging them to call our investigators or provide that information through Crime Stoppers.
Now, they still want that dash cam video that'll go into the evidence, but this just sent out by Peel Police through Twitter. As a result of information obtained by investigators, a 49-year-old man from Toronto has been taken into custody in relation to this stabbing. Investigators are currently interviewing that man, and once complete, appropriate charges will be laid. What's wrong with us?
Yeah, I mean, listen, what's wrong with us? How much time do you have to answer that question?
Funny thing is, I'm the worst for road rage, too.
Not to this degree, though.
No, never to this degree, but I've stepped out of the car a few times. I've had a few little tussles. You
what?
Know. Yeah, yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I heard somebody, I think was on John Moore's show the other day, basically saying, you know, you've got so much going on in life, stress, anxiety, your work, you know, you're all bent out of shape at work, and then you get in your car and it becomes your little zone, and anytime anybody interferes with that little zone, that's the snapping point. That's when you lose it.
Well, it's funny because I think it's anonymous in essence, but we take it personal. So the person who just cut me off doesn't know they're cutting me off. It's not, oh, you, David, I'm doing this to you. Yeah. I don't respect you. They just don't, respect the rules of the road and society in general. But you do take it personally. You feel like it's a slight against you. I'm going to show them. I'm going to get beside them. I'm going to scream at them. And if they don't take me seriously, it's going to make me more angry.
Yeah.
And then you're off to the races and you find yourself screaming.
I was crossing over here on Queen Street, right by the radio station. There's a crosswalk there. I told you this story.
It's Queen and Duncan, right?
Yeah, just whatever the next intersection over from Duncan is. McCall.
Okay.
Queen and McCall. And the light turned, so they had a red light, and there's a street where people can make a right turn safely onto Queen Street once the crosswalk is cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was stepping out into the crosswalk. Car makes a right turn and starts to go onto Queen. I'm like, okay, I'll step back. I get on the curb. Even though I have the walk sign, the car goes, and then the delivery truck behind the car decides it's going to go too. Now I'm already in the intersection. I can't go back. The driver literally follows me down Queen Street. Rolls down his window and yells out, "I'm going to effing kill you." And then repeats it, "I'm going to effing murder you." And I was like, okay, this is like 2 in the afternoon, 1 in the afternoon on the way to work.
Like, but how are you to blame for that?
I don't know.
Using a crosswalk?
I wasn't.
So did the back of your neck get really hot, or did you take your phone out and get the plate?
Or just put your head down and left? Yeah, I tried to get to the radio station as discreetly as I could.
Right.
Because then he actually pulled down Duncan right across from the studio. And I was like, okay, well.
I'd have totally pulled out the phone. It's amazing how fast people back down when you pull out a phone.
Yeah, I know.
I'd like you to leave, please. And you hold the phone up. It's like this talisman.
Oh, except for one of my female friends, that's her thing. So when she gets into it with someone and the person starts to get aggressive, a guy, she pulls out the phone and you're right. It's immediately diffuses it.
Yeah.
They call, they say one last name and then they're off. They're gone because they know, that ends up online. That's how you lose jobs. That's how you get charged.
All right. What else do we
have? Counting on it.
Yeah. It was also from the roads today. It was yesterday. We told you about a video that was recorded Saturday night on the 409 near Pearson. Shows these morons blocking traffic on the highway so they can do donuts in their cars. Let's shout down a 400 series highway so we can record a viral video. Oh, boy. The OPP letting them know today. Well, we're coming from you.
I can tell you right now, the OPP have launched a criminal investigation into the perpetrators, the organizers, and the participants in this activity.
Police say there will also be an increased police presence on the highways now. They say essentially all the highways. They say, of course, this is not only dangerous, it's illegal. So it's good to see they're putting that extra emphasis on to try to track them down so this doesn't become the norm. Because this is what happens, right? A couple of kids see this. Oh, the video worked. It went viral. Yep. It was successful. Let's try it this weekend now.
Yeah, and good for, I know we put a lot of attention on this, and we highlighted it and flagged it, and now the OPP is taking some action on it, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's nice to see, because you watch that video, and you're just, and I was reading the comments after the video on that one Instagram feed that first put it out, which is, I think it's called The Six or something like that.
Yeah.
And I thought there would be more, oh, what a great video, and no, most of the people that responded were like, you're lucky I wasn't in my car and stuck behind you, because I would have got out and had something to say.
Back to the road rage.
Yeah, back to the road rage, exactly.
Now, in that case, it might be justified. No. But that you're—I mean—you're a bunch of wackadoos. If this is the stuff that you're practicing or
really,
doing,
really, like, just throw the book at them.
Did you guys hear the? I don't know if you heard this on Jim's show today, but they had had yesterday a guy on that was there, I believe, was part of it, and he was giving them sort of some background on it, and then he wrote Donnie, Jim's producer, and essentially said, you know, I know a lot more. I've been going to these events for years, and I could really give you the inside scoop. But you got to pay me. And it was like, okay.
Yeah.
So you just showed exactly what kind of quality person you are.
Oh.
You are right there. I mean,
right.
I totally don't have a problem ratting on my friends.
But I need money.
You
got to
grease
money.
Me first.
You got to grease my palms.
What's going on with Toronto's charter? Oh, this is a great aisle. Who doesn't love this,
should,
Dave?
Should Toronto have its own charter? A group of former mayors, some current councillors, and others, they think so. They formed an organization. Charter City Toronto. They feel a charter would give Toronto greater control over things like taxation and development planning, basically allow it a better handle on deciding its own future. Now, the province would have to sign off on this. Uh-oh. Does Mayor Tory believe that would be an issue with Premier Ford?
I'm not worried about that. I mean, he has indicated a real willingness now in this sort of latest chapter of the relationship between Toronto and his government to listen. And to dialogue with us, and to and listening is a two-way street. It means not only do we listen to things they want to do or may need to do, but it means they listen to things that are priorities of ours.
The mayor makes another good point. Any discussion that has to be conducted, basically when they're talking about this at City Hall, City Council, that sort of thing, has to be done in a responsible, rational manner, not overly politicized, as the behavior inside City Hall, essentially that would be a factor in whether this might happen. If they see they're bickering and they're not getting along in City Council, well, then that would be an example to say, well, no, you shouldn't have a charter. You can't handle these things yourselves. The group, this, what's it called again, the Charter City Toronto, also wants a constitutional amendment to prevent the charter from being changed without Toronto's consent. And that would require federal approval, so both levels of government.
Yeah, you know what's interesting and what all these people have in common? A lot of them, well, almost all of them have the word former in their titles.
That's true.
Barbara Hall, former mayor. David Miller, former mayor. Yeah. John Sewell, former mayor. Who else? Bob Ray, former premier. No. How about no? Like, it's not, you know what the thing is? Back when these people were actually in charge, the councillors were semi-responsible, grown-up, buttoned-up politicians. Now it's just a clown show down there.
Well, it's funny how they say, okay, we want to do this, but then we want to lock the door behind us. Change the constitutional amendment so that you can't come back on us and say, it's not working. You're still bickering and not getting things done.
Well, I don't want their grubby hands on education. They can barely run the things that we task them with now. Why do they always constantly want distractions? Just focus on the job you've got. It pays well. You know, get the snow clear. Make sure that the garbage is picked up. Dogs are found when they're lost. We're good.
Yeah, and you know, the mayor talks. I can't really tell. It sounds like the mayor supports the idea, at least in principle, but he talks about as well that he's spoken with Ford, and Ford has talked about giving the mayor of Toronto more power.
And that is a good idea. Give the mayor specifically more power. No one's going to argue that. Well, maybe everybody on council will. But the mayor should be a bigger vote and have a bigger vote and carry a bigger stick than the rest of that city
100%.
Council.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. See, we're talking sense, and all these people with former... See, I'm the current, we're the current hosts of this program, not the former one. The former one is actually the mayor. So there you go.
I never went.
See how that all links together?
I never went deep enough. Is it all because of chopping council? Is that what motivated this?
Oh, yeah, that's a big part of it. Yeah. They said the TTC, although they've gone back on that, the idea of uploading it back to the province, that's part of the reason that they
So that,
this.
In quotes, interference, as they see it, was the catalyst.
Which, by the way, can we just take stock on it? Remember how everybody said the sky was going to fall and, oh, it's going to be awful and city council is going to be, we won't be able to function as a city. Okay, that happened when? Well over a year ago? Year and a half, 2 years? How, 2 years ago? Was it 2 years? A year and a half
And they're still battling it.
Yeah. And they're still battling it, but everything seems fine at city council.
Which shocks me. They're carrying on to the next level to still fight it when you want to say, what's the problem? Everything seems to be working well. In fact, you're getting things done a bit quicker. There's still enough for a reasonable vote. But no, they're still in court.
Josh Matlow up there. Wouldn't trust these counselors to run a hot dog stand. Seriously, they get the condiments all wrong. Be like, this isn't even mustard. What did you do? Oh, I forgot the mustard.
This isn't mayo.
Yeah. What do you mean? No? I mean, you're out of spicy sausages. What kind of hot dog stand is this? Come on, Matlow.
Vegetarian.
You want to talk to Defonte Miller here?
Yeah, so this was this afternoon as Defonte Miller, he was heading into the courthouse in Oshawa.
Anything you want to say before you go into the courthouse?
No, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. What are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. What do you hope is going to happen today? Are you ready to testify?
Yes, sir.
He's ready to testify. Speaking to CP24 there, and we thought Miller would take the stand and talk about how he was allegedly beaten with a steel pipe by an off-duty Toronto cop and his brother after they allegedly caught him breaking into one of their vehicles. They're behind schedule, though, so he didn't testify today. It didn't happen, but a lot of media presence there waiting for that testimony to happen. Looks like it will happen tomorrow now. Police officer called to investigate the incident. Meantime, she did take the stand today. She investigated. It was nearly 3 years ago. She now suddenly remembers hearing a young black man scream that two men had beaten him and hit him with an object. It's the first time the constable mentioned Miller making these comments despite speaking to investigators and testifying at a preliminary inquiry. The brothers jointly charged with aggravated assault, separately charged with obstruction of justice. That's over how they portrayed the incident to investigators. And they both pled not guilty.
You know, you could even almost set this aside, because I think what some on the round table, and Atricia is a litigator, she's not working on this case, but she said, you know, memory can be an interesting thing. You do remember things at different times. I don't want to quote her, but I'll even say it. Memory can be interesting. So, you know,
don't buy it.
Well, you want to give lawyers at least a heads up that you might be thinking something different than what you told them ahead of time. Allow them to prepare and to make sure that both sides have adequate information. I think that's proper and appropriate, and you don't like these surprises coming out, but they do happen. In court cases.
3 years. I don't. And I'm trying to think, why would she have forgotten and now suddenly remembering? Was there an attempt to assist in the original story that was presented, allegedly the one that maybe would let the constable or let the officer and his brother off the hook? The idea that the whole thing, there was the obstruction of justice. It was not portrayed to investigators accurately. In other words, they were trying to get away with it. None of this proven in court. But was there an attempt to assist in that? That's why it wasn't remembered at the time. And now that it's hit the fan, it's remembered now.
Yeah, again, that'll be figured out in a court of law. I think the other interesting part about this, for me this afternoon, has been the handcuff situation and the pat-down situation.
Yeah.
That, for me, I don't know how you work around that. I don't know how you explain that. I don't know how that's good police work or buttoned-up police work where you show up and you're like, oh, hey, I heard on the radio you're an off-duty cop. Here's the handcuffs. Why don't you pat this guy down?
Take the care of this for us.
But, like, without even asking, it seems like without even trying to ascertain what condition the off-duty cop and his brother were in, what condition Mr. Miller was in, what the set of circumstances that led to all of this were, does Defonte Miller need medical attention? You know, those are important things. That's how police work is supposed to occur.
Yeah, and is this part of setting up to protect yourself now that allegedly the truth is starting to come out?
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll find out.
I thought this case was actually quite fascinating going into it, given where we are when it comes to race relations in the city and the police, when it comes to trust in the police, even if you take race out of it. I think this is going to be one that a lot of people are going to be focused on and watching and should be.
And we'll be there.
All right. There you go. You're going to come back in just 60 seconds. Tell us more stories. Storytelling Dave, also known as Dave McKee, with his views on the news.
6:15 and News Talk 1010, Time Saver Traffic.
It's Ryan and Jay here on The Rush. Dave McKee is here with his views on the news. Radiohead. Radiohead, yes, a band that I wish I didn't have to mention.
I love Radiohead, but it's been 7 years still calling for the parties involved to take responsibility for the Downsview Park stage collapse that killed a drum technician. Band out with a statement today. That's after a UK inquest into the man's death was completed last month. The coroner there concluded basically inadequate technical advice as well as inadequate construction techniques led to this collapse, which caused the death. Radiohead writes in a statement, only the owner of Optech Staging Company has taken any ownership of his role in the tragedy. It's time for the others responsible to finally publicly admit their part in this terrible incident. Radiohead invites them to offer their apologies to the victim's family and friends for what they have endured and to the surviving crew for the physical injuries, mental trauma they have suffered. Now, the initial charges against Live Nation, Optex, and an individual engineer, they were tossed out. And as we did the story, right, the judge ruled it took too long. Case took too long to go to trial. Mm-hmm. Charges are tossed out. Now, the family and friends, after this statement came out today, they stepped forward and said, yeah, we'd like to hear somebody publicly admit that, you know, their role in that death. We want to hear an apology. My question would be ultimately is, what are the legal ramifications?
I was going to say the
that?
Same thing to you. That was my next question. Like, if it does an apology then include, okay, well, you've apologized, now you're legally culpable for what went on.
Exactly, for civil litigation. So I have no doubt lawyers are, I'm going to guess, are telling Optex and Live Nation, don't you say a word. Just, it's a horrible incident, it's a horrible tragedy, but you're not going to say anything because of the legal ramifications.
Yeah, and that's a, you know, a lot of people think, okay, well, an apology, that's got to be easy to do. Why didn't you say sorry? Well, it comes with some strings, or does it?
And that'd be a difficult position. So you imagine your head of Optex, who did come step forward and say, you talked about responsibility during the inquest, but you'd want to go to the families and say, it breaks my heart for any role. And then the lawyer's telling you, don't you do that, because it just sets you up to pay out God knows how much.
Yeah, it's a lot of the time it's the lawyers, right?
Yeah, it is.
I like this guy a lot.
Yeah, he's very talented. And you know your housing market is red hot when it attracts celebrity investors. So we have Robert De Niro, Nobu, Karl Lagerfeld, Art Shop, Lofts and Condos, and now Pharrell, announcing today he's investing in two residential towers in Midtown Toronto.
What's in a name? Who you are, what you do, how you love, what you seek, how you feel. Where you live defies labels. Space is only a backdrop.
You sure he's not investing in cannabis? What is he talking about? So he made the announcement on a giant video screen at Yonge Dundas Square as the singer. He's in Japan right now. Project dubbed Untitled. Untitled will feature 750 units between two joined towers. It's located at Yonge and Eglinton. So we went to real estate agent Frank Leo, was asked about, well, this trend, we see these celebrities coming to this market.
Because the environment is such that condos are being allowed, and we've had the most cranes than any other city in North America for quite a few years now, I think the opportunity is out there for celebrities to get their names out there and participate in some of this construction.
Yeah, in other words, it's making a ton of money, so where else are you going to invest?
Yeah, true enough. Right, true enough. I don't blame them. Yonge and Eglinton, what a prime spot, prime location.
That thing's going off right now.
But, I look at it and I think, does Pharrell's name being added to this make it more palatable for somebody to want to live there? Because you got to have some pretty serious scratch to buy a condo in this city.
Thinking almost the same thing, which was, would that make me inform my, would it inform my decision at all, knowing that Pharrell Williams was a designer or that Robert De Niro was part of it?
Like if Pharrell performs in the party room, okay.
Every Saturday.
Hey, the Neptunes are here again.
Yeah.
What?
And I love Pharrell. I think he's great. I love his music. I thought he was great in The Voice, but I listen to him there and I just think to myself, all I'm hearing is, you can't afford to live here. You just can't afford to live here. You. No, you. Yes, you. That guy. The dude on The Rush. You can't afford to live here. That's all I hear.
It's true.
Over and over and over again.
I guess the initial attention here right now, he's worth the money.
Yeah.
After tomorrow, who cares?
I'd love to hear a celebrity come on and say, you know, I'm really proud to be part of this in Toronto, and what I'd like to do is talk about a problem that's in my city as well, and I'm going to kick some money in for affordable housing.
Oh, boy.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
All condo developers.
All cities should be made to be affordable to live in.
Let's not do
No,
this
I'm not saying affordable
you're,
for
you're
everyone.
Like you want to do this all over again. I'm not doing this all over again.
Let's do Air Canada.
Hey, let's talk about planes.
Unions representing flight attendants at Air Canada, Sunwing, WestJet. They're concerned about the safety of the Boeing 737 MAX jets when they return to service. They're calling on Transport Canada, take responsibility for ensuring the safety. Union says the federal government's decision to ground the 737 MAX was the right thing to do. It's now up to Transport Canada to provide assurances these aircraft are fully compliant, fully safe. Plus, QP feels it should be consulted, even given access to the data involving safety, and that's before Transport Canada makes the decision whether to allow them to fly again. They represent 13,000 flight attendants.
I would, you know, you hear these stories, and it, I would have thought this was a problem that would have been solved by now.
I would contend this. The Boeing 737 MAX jet, when it was allowed to fly again, will be the safest plane on the planet.
It's interesting.
Because it will go, the scrutiny, there was this old story in Montreal, Peel Pub, you ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah.
They were recycling beer. They got caught years and years ago recycling beer. They would take a half-empty jug of beer, and they would just pour it in and fill it up, serve it to somebody else, allegedly. Well, I think it was proven. But all that to say, I had no problem eating there after that story surfaced.
Because you knew they were going to be as top-notch as possible.
Constantly. So the same with this. This plane will be the safest plane out there when it's...
They actually opened a Peel Pub not far from here.
Did they?
Back in the day. You remember where Shoeless Joe's was on King Street? That's not there anymore either, by the way. It's just an empty. I walked by it all the time. But that's where Peel Pub was.
Okay.
Yeah. It was successful. And then it wasn't.
And then it wasn't.
And then Shoeless Joe's was there and successful. And then King Street happened. And now it's closed.
Like everywhere.
Like everything
ever.
Else. Yeah. Man, it is miserable on King Street.
It is.
Feel for them. So what is this?
This is my new segment. I have a new segment. I like to call it America with a K. Now, some stories from south of the border where you're grateful to be Canadian. First up, Maryland, where police are searching for someone who murdered a guy because he cut in line at Popeyes. People were lined up for the return of a popular chicken sandwich.
So from the moment that this single individual confronts the man who had cut in front of the other customers, 15 seconds later, on the sidewalk in front of this store, there's a stabbing that leads to a death.
Stabbed him to death over a chicken sandwich. Actually slashed a number of people, ran off. They're searching for him. Now let's head to Milwaukee. 61-year-old white guy is accused of throwing acid in the face of a Hispanic man for no other reason than he's Hispanic. This Trump supporter accused the victim of being illegally in the U.S. You're invading our country. Now to Louisiana. A man has avoided a drunk driving charge there by operating an electric-powered shopping cart to get from one bar to another. Told a deputy he thought he might get charged with DWI. So if he drove his own, that's if he drove his own vehicle from bar to bar. So he took the shopping cart and it worked. But instead, he was basically charged with theft.
I love this. This is a weekly segment now. Do you think you'd have enough information to fill it?
This is one day.
This
absolutely.
Is just one day. The chicken sandwich, by the way, at Popeyes, they decided to put on sale because it hasn't been around for a while on Sundays. Because Chick-fil-A isn't open.
Not open. That's a good idea.
Yeah, right?
That's
smart.
They're already lined up on a Tuesday.
I drove by Chick-fil-A on Saturday night. You'd think that there was a concert going on.
That's how busy it is?
It was lined up around the block.
It's chicken.
And my buddy lives up there, and he tells me it's like that every day.
I got to try this.
It's the new Uncle Tetsu.
Yeah, with
the cheesecake.
Remember that?
Uncle Tetsu.
Which I finally tried, and I was like,
Uncle Tetsu was barely here. We hardly knew him. He's still there. It's still open. It's just not as busy.
Oh, no lineup.
Poor old Uncle Tetsu. Dave McKee.
Thanks, guys.
We used to call him Uncle Tetsu. Then he changed to just Dave McKee. He's here every day, 6 o'clock, with his views on the news.
More details on a really interesting helpline that's been launched in Ontario when we come back. Stick around.